Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. We are starting Yoradea today. That's Siman Aleph is Hilcha Shechita. Just a quick review of the basic style. I know for some of you, you're starting with us. So the idea is we are learning and reviewing the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah inside at a relatively quick pace compared to what most people are used to. And of course, everyone's encouraged to do more chazara on their own and learn sugyas be'ilin as much as possible. But we're trying to understand the meaning and the reasonings for all the halacha in relative detail. And we're learning halacha lemaisa as much as possible, focused on the principles of halacha and some simple examples. Obviously, we're not going to go into all the many different complex Shilas, sometimes we do. And we do try and present both sides on every topic. If there's a machlokas among the Achronim, including both Ashkenazim and Sephardim. But we don't usually focus on learning the sources from the Gemara and the Rishonim inside. Although that does add a lot of depth into the understanding. It's always very good. And extremely important for a posek, of course. But it just adds a lot of time, so it's not the focus of the shir. And we do try and avoid taking sides whenever there's a machloket. We try and, for the most part, be objective. But of course, no one's ever 100% non-biased. And some of the halachas we're going to go into great detail, and some of them we are just going to focus on the Shulchan Aruch Ramah and just mention some of the machlokas or some of the topics and move on. And of course, correct me if I ever make a mistake. And feel free after the shir to share with me a good chiddush or a great story. And it's kedai to always listen to the next shir because every so often I include something that's important to add to the previous shir. And once in a while, even corrections. So that's very kedai. Now, I just want to point out some books that's important to some great Sfarim. So we all are familiar with the classic Shulchan Aruch, with all the Nosei Kelim. What I'm going to be using a lot, especially in the beginning of Yoradea, is a book, a sefer called Madanei HaShulchan. And it's written by Rav Levi HaKohen Rabinovich, and this is the father of, he passed away, this is the father of the famous Posek and Mekubal Rabban Gamliel Rabinovich in Yerushalayim, who's alive today. So that's the author of this book I'm going to be using a lot of. Crazy Uplacy, Crazy in particular, is also very useful. These books are a little bit like Mishnah Berurah style. Aruch HaShulchan, Kaf HaChaim are also great Sfarim, as far as being later Achronim, and then that explain, and of course, there's other more classical Sfarim as well. And one of the most famous Sfarim that was written just on for Shochtim is Simla Chadasha. That's also many used nowadays. All right, let me just a couple intro points from the Sefer Madanei Shulchan, and then we'll jump straight into Siman Aleph, which is actually a very crucial and Yesodos Siman for Yoradea in general, as we'll see, I think, today. Now, how do we know the source for Shechita? So we know in the Pasuk it says, and Parsha Yisra'ev is Avachta Mibchacha Vitzoncha Asher Natan Alnei Lecha Asher Tziviticha Ve'achalta Bisharecha Bechol Avat Nafshecha. So we see Vizavachta is for doing Shechita. And that's really our only source. And in the beginning it says Vizavachta, and the end it says Kasher Tziviticha. So the Gemara in Chulin quotes Tanya Rabbi Yomer, Vizavachta kasher tziviticha melamit shinstava Moshe ala veshet ve'ala kane ve'al rov echad ve'of al rov shnayim bebehema. Basically, so that's, you know, we're going to get to these details about how many of these simanim you need. There's two main ones, kane veshet, and one by a chicken, one by two by a behema. Anyways, so the Rashi and others point out, the Rambam, that really it's halacha l'moshe misinai, all the details. The concept we see in the Torah by shechita from v'zavachta, but all the halachos, again, Chochmas Adam and others, they all point out it's halacha l'moshe misinai. And the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvat aseh, to do shechita. Prima Gadim points out it's a machloket rishonim, if it's something that you really want to try and be mekayim, kind of like tefillin and a mezuzah, or is it just something that's a matir so that you're not over a lav? Kesef Mishnah says it's no one's mechuyev to do it. Kafachayim says it's better to be yotzei all the shitas to try and do it yourself, and if you're going to appoint a shochet to shecht for you, make him your shaliach, and shalucho shel adam kemoso dami. So you could be makayim that. And one last interesting thing, and then we'll start. He quotes from Rabbi Yonasan Shtaib, that's all, regarding why does chulin or hilcha shechita start with, yoredeya. Why does that start with shechita? Usually you have to learn which animals to shecht. You have to know what the simanim are. You might think start with that. Why are you starting with shechita? So he points out because, based on the Gemara Nedarim, that says that whenever you have a halacha that's all learned out from Midrashim or Torah Sheba'al Peh, and it's not Mefersh in the Torah, so that's, the Gemara makes a statement that that's where we want to start from. So how it applies over here, it's Peshtup Shat might mean it's just less obvious, and therefore you need an explanation, so we'll start explaining what needs more of an explanation. Another explanation or understanding of the Nedarim is it's more precious and enjoyable, so you want to start with there. And as he concludes in this Hagdama, it's to show the greatness of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And you show the Torah the greatness of, because that's what you want to start with, to show that you start with what's maybe the greatest, and it's Torah Sheba'al, the halacha that's all learned out by Torah Sheba'al Peh, to stress the fact that without Torah Sheba'al Peh, we have nothing. We can't understand even what's written, what's even black and white, without Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, now, we are starting today with Siman Aleph. Mahim Aksherim Lishchot. So who is me, right? Who is Kasher to Shecht? Aleph. Akol Shochtim Lechatchila. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, everyone's allowed to Shecht Lechatchila. Again, we're going to learn some details, who is everybody. But generally, a regular person is allowed to shecht afilu nashim, even women, right? Assuming you learned the halachos, etc. We're going to get to that. You need Kabbalah or not? We're going to get to that shortly. Now, Shulchan Aruch says even women lechatchila, and we're not worried about them. We'll see in a sec. Haga v'yesh omrim she'im laniach nashim lishchot. And the Ramah quotes the opinion that says, no, it's better for women not to shech. We shouldn't let them shech. Shekvar nagu shelo lishchot. And basically, it's because the minhag is not to let them shech, which has a reason for it. Two main reasons given. The main one is because, of course, the expression of Daitan Kalas is thrown in as one of the explanations, but it's really shema yit alfu. We're afraid they're going to get queasy, lightheaded. Now again, we're going to learn again and again in this siman about somebody mit alef or nit alef. It doesn't mean passing out and falling cold and your mind going completely blank and you're on the floor. It just means getting lightheaded to the point where you're starting to, right before a person passes out, they feel, wow, I'm getting really lightheaded. Maybe I'm starting to see a little black or I'm a little dizzy. But they're not 100% there. Again, exactly where the fine line, it might be a little blurry. But that's, once a person is starting to lose his senses a little bit and clarity, then that's what we're afraid of. Because once that is happening, you can't be careful or know if you're careful with all the halachos. So it's more common for women with the blood, with the knife, with the whole act. I know my first time when I shechted, so we know when you shecht them, something called a pirkus. So there's like a death rattle. They do a violent shake. And so the first time that I shechted, so my hand was shaking more than the chicken. Only the first time. But so that was not okay as one of the three to be kosher. So anyways, So anyway, so that's... Oh yeah, that was for sure true. One of the issues you're afraid of is hadrasa. That's also one of the issues. If you're, we're going to see that when we get there. But so anyway, so that's the main issue, that women are more queasy when it comes to these issues and the blood. And also, some point out, maybe they're especially in those days, maybe they're a little bit less medactic on some of the details of these halachos. And so that's just how the minhag evolved. And that became the minhag, and we don't teach women to be... Now, mi'ikar din, it wouldn't be a problem, but just that became the minhag, and we don't give them Kabbalah, and so therefore they can't shecht in general. Okay. V'avadim, v'chol adam. Now, these are more... So, avadim are also allowed to be shochtim, and everybody. Now, what kind of avadim are we talking about? Is this a kananim or meshuchrarim? So the Torah says meshuchrarim, but really the poskim say it means even if they're not free, which means, what's the definition of it? Basically, it's an eved kanani. What does that mean? It means you have a non-Jew who converts in order to become a slave of a Jew. But that means you're going to be keeping all the mitzvos. You're accepting all the mitzvos. Again, you're pater from mitzvos aseh shehazman grama, but besides that, you're accepting all the mitzvos, and so you have to do mila, and you have to do tzvila and kabbalas mitzvos in front of a beis din, and you're doing it with shame of this. So once you become a slave, then you're allowed to shecht. Okay. Now, one of the reasons they point out that a meshuchar, a freed slave, is because, generally speaking, an Eved Kanani were not known to be the greatest of society or the most religious, and they keep some of their minhagim from being goyish behaviors, and so therefore we don't want them, or we don't trust them, to be a proper Yerei Shemayim and a Shochet. So that's, but if you know them, and you tested them, and you know them and their personalities, and you test them, as we're going to see, then the poskim say you're allowed to give them Kabbalah. Okay. Filu ein makirinoto shemuchzak lishchot shelo yitalef. Even though he's not muchzak, you don't know, you haven't seen him yourself, but he doesn't get passed out or queasy. V'gam ein yodim bo shehu mumcha v'yediyah ha'chashchita. Even if you don't even know if he's such a mumcha, and he doesn't know, we don't know if he knows all the halachos. Mutar li teino lechatchila lishchot. You're allowed to come up to him, walk up to him. He's basically a stranger, and give it to him to shecht. Now, we're talking about you're going to test him afterwards, after he shechts, but you're allowed to give it to him lechatchila even before you test him, because we assume, we're talking about people here. Umutar lecho mishchita. So you're allowed to eat it. Sherov haragilim lishchot heim becheskat mumchim umuchzakim. Because we're talking about a time and age in history where anyone who you see being involved in shechita, but generally, most of these people are mumchim and muchzakim, and mumchim in halacha, muchzakim, that they don't pass out. And so therefore, you're allowed to just go on the rove and use them. But since you know that they're here and you can test them, you're allowed to give it to them lechatchila to shecht, but then since they're in front of you, and since it's a miut, it's a miut, but it's somewhat shchiach, so therefore you have to still do bedika. We're going to see this by bedikas hareya. By bedikas hareya, most animals we say are not shreifas, most are kosher. So why do you have to do bedikas hareya? Because it's easy, and it's in front of you. And it's a miut that is common. So it's a miut, so therefore if the reya disappears, this person shechts and disappears, then you're allowed to eat it. At this point, once it's after the fact, you would say lechatchila, you're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to give it to him lechatchila if you know he's going to disappear on you. But from that perspective, you'd call it bedieved. But anyways, so that's the same concept of bedikas hareya. Bedikas here is you have to check him out that he knows the halachos and not need to left since you don't know him. And as mutar lechol mishchitato, then you're allowed to eat. B'med varim amurim b'she'enu lefaneinu. When do you not have to check him? Well, if he disappears, Az muter lechol mishchitato v'somchin ala chazaka, and then you're allowed to rely on the chazaka of rov, that most of these people are muchzak, and you don't have to go at great lengths to track him down and drive to go fetch him and etc. Okay, obviously if it's just a phone call, then you would have to. Okay. Alright, Chris. Whenever you're able to find out, then you find out. But if not, then we're somech on the rov. Okay. Aval, im hu lefanenu. But if he's in front of us, tzarich lebotko. Im hu mumche v'yodea hilcha shchita. So then you have to check him that he knows the halachot. Aval, ein tzarich lesholo im nit alef. But you don't have to. The chazaka works for anyone who's regular there, that he's not going to pass out. But you do need to test him that he does, that he knows the halachot. Okay. Right, so basically, the way we explained it is really how many of the poskim point out, and the Vilna Gaon. Here he points out, in Madanei Shulchan also, because now you have a mute that maybe he's not a mumcha, and you're trying to undo a chazaka of the behemah starting out b'cheskat iser because you didn't do shechita yet. So it's not an ideal rov situation. So that's another reason why lechatchila we want to check. Okay, let's go on. Okay. Also, they point out, if once you test him that he knows the halachot and he's giving you the animal to eat, well, since he knows the halachot, and he knows if you get squeezy or passes out, he's not allowed to. It's not reliable. So since he knows the halachot, you tested him. He himself will also know if he's squeezy in general. And then, so that's another reason why you don't need to ask him, because memela he would tell you. That's the assumption. Okay, haga v'yesh omrim she'en lismoch al chazaka ela bedieved. Now some say you only rely on this chazaka if it's bedieved. But lechatchila, one should not rely on this chazaka. Lechatchila, the Rama says, really, don't even give it to him to shecht until you first check him out. And this is if you're giving it to somebody else, right? Because you don't know if he's a baki or not. We're assuming he is, you go after rov, but you yourself don't know. But avala shochet atzma lo yishchot. But a shochet himself, I mean, this is quite obvious, a person himself should not be shechting. Because that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Right? Lechatchila, you're not allowed to. We're going to see. Afal pi sheyodea hilchot shechita mumcha. Even though you know hilchot shechita, why? Ad sheshachat shalosh pe'amim bifnei chacham umumcha behilchot shechita sheyodea shehu ragil v'zariz shelo italef. Because really, it became the standard that you're not allowed to shecht until you get Kabbalah from a Rav of Shechita who gives Kabbalah. And you have to test in front of him three times in a row. Right? From the poskim or many of the mefarshim, it sounds like it has to be three times in a row kasher and three times in a row immediately, one after the other. So I spoke with Rav Amitai ben David, who's one of the most famous rabbanim nowadays in teaching Hilcha Shechita and Trefa, and he gives seminars and show and tell actual dissections and Shechita in front of you. So he said, Lamaisa, nowadays it's very common to give Kabbalah even though you don't have three. You have to have three in a row that are kosher, but you don't have to have necessarily all on the same day or all one after another. It sounds like from some of the sources, it's supposed to be done at the same time, so that this way we test you. We want to see you shechting with the knife and the blood flowing three times, and you still don't get lightheaded. So, but he says it's not all. It's Lamai said it's very common not to have three available. Chickens is one thing, but besides chickens, it's very hard to get small birds or animals, and to have three at your disposal, and that's not the minhag to be makbid on that.
Is there a separate bedika for chickens than for animals?
When we get to there, we'll learn that. That's, yeah, it's different, a little different, or very different. Okay. Also, when you get Kabbalah, you have to, so the minimum is to shecht three in a row, kosher. And the minhag is also that one of those three must be a male. So why? So one reason is brought down over here because the veshet is a little bit looser with the males. And it's easier to have for it to come out as an avela if it's a little slip or a mess with the when you shecht it. So that's why at least one of the three needs to be a male. It's harder. Rabban David also pointed out because they're more wild and harder to control and to hold them just to shecht them. So that's another reason why we need to make sure that one of them is a male. Okay. And even though you get Kabbalah for three chickens, you're still not okay to do the smaller birds or pigeons or doves or other things because they're still different. The way you hold them is a little bit different. The positioning and of the location of where the kana and veshet is a little bit different. By a regular chicken, it's the easiest. They're both right in the center of the neck, right near each other. But for some of the smaller birds or other birds, they could be far apart from each other. So you need a little bit of training in how to do that. So you also need to do that. And then that's not just because you could do chickens. I believe you need to do another three, I believe. The small ones. And if you want to do animals, you also have to do get tested separately, three in a row of animals. And he points out here that many times, even shochtim mumchim, if they're going to do small birds, it's very common for them to come out as a nevela. So he says what they should always do is do at least two at a time, or to do one of them, the small birds, after a chicken. Because we don't want you to say a bracha levatala. If you're just going to do one small bird, it's very easy for it to become a bracha levatala. So that's why we prefer to do that. And, okay. He also points out over here that, again, it depends on the case. In Eretz Yisrael, you also need to know the halachas of matanas kahuna, what to do with the animal. But it really just depends on who's in charge, and you just have to make sure someone's going to take care of it. If you know someone always else takes care of it, then the shochet himself wouldn't have to be a mumchen halachos of matanas kahuna. Depends on, okay, let's see if we can finish this. V'lachein noagim she'en adam shochet, ela im kein natal kabbalah lifnei chacham. So the minhag is, you don't get kabbalah, you don't shecht, unless you get kabbalah from a chacham. Not, it could be verbal, but generally the minhag is you write it down, you have a piece of paper, you have a document, especially you're going to need it again in the future. Many point out that you don't just appoint anyone to be a shochet, you want to make sure, of course, they're a yarei shamayim, and some put it, not kaldeos, or not they don't drink too much, and okay, you want to be a little bit thoughtful who you pick to be your shochtim. And they also point out, all the poskim, that the Rav Amakshe, whoever gives Kabbalah, those birds that are tested on, he's not allowed to eat them. You have to give them to Anim. So even if they come out kosher, you give them to the Anim. Because otherwise, it's like a bribery a little bit. You're being an aid that it was done kosher and you're taking money for it. So that's not allowed. Let's see. Let's read a bit more. Here, ve'ein ha'chacham no tein lo kabbalah ad she'yeda bo shehu yodeh lecha tshchita u'baki biyad. And therefore, you only give someone kabbalah if you know that they're worthy and they know. Ve'lachein nogim shekol abayin lishchot somchen aleihem lechatchila. Now, because we're so makpid that you have to have kabbalah and the shechita organizations, the kashrus organizations, they check for this. So therefore, lachein noagim shekol abayim lishchot som chalel nachatchila. It really depends on the situation, but often you could be extra mekel because now there is such a umdana that a person, a shochet, is going to have kabbalah. You don't even have to test them anymore. Lo batkin latam, lo batchila, lo basof, and you don't test them at all. The kol mitzinat el shechita kavar natlu kabbalah lifnei chacham, because whoever is doing this is already, we know already has Kabbalah, if we see him doing Shechita. Maybe we're going to stop right here. I just want to tell you, tomorrow we're going to discuss, because it's very related to this, what happens if your local butcher, you find out that all or some of the chickens are completely treif. So what do you do? Because it's related to what happens if you're shochet, never got Kabbalah. Stay tuned.